At the very start of Ruth's story, we're confronted by a tale of love and loyalty, a theme that permeates the rest of the book. The first reading is Ruth, chapter 1, verses 1 to 18. In the days where the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to live in the country of Moab, he and his wife and two sons. The name of that man was Eli, and the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of his sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Eli, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. When they had lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left with her two sons and without her two sons and her husband. Then she started to return with her daughters-in-law from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had considered his people and given them food. So she set out for the place where she had been living, she and her two daughters-in-law, and they went on their way to go back to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that you may find security, each of you in the house of your husband." Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Do I still have sons in my womb that they might become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. Even if I thought there was hope for me, even if I should have a husband tonight and bear sons, would you then wait until they were grown? Would you then refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, it has been far more bitter for me than for you, because the hand of the Lord has turned against me." Then they wept aloud again. Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. So she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not press me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. There I will be buried. May the Lord do thus and so to me, and more as well, if even death parts me from you." When Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more to her. The second reading is Mark, chapter 12, verses 28 to 34. One of the scribes came near and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he answered them well, he asked him, "Which commandment is the first of all?" Jesus answered, "The first is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.' The second is this, 'You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.' Then the scribe said to him, 'You are right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, and beside him there is no other. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, this is much important than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices.' When Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, 'You are not far from the kingdom of God.' After that, no one dared ask him any question. May the Spirit bless us with wisdom and wonder as we ponder the meaning of these words for our lives."
Slogans. It comes from a couple of Gaelic words, and I was hoping John Thornton would be back and he could get the correct pronunciation. It's from slogorn, two words, slogerm, and they mean both army and shout. So the slogan was really a shout, and so that's why these things are very short and sharp and shiny. And you may recognise them. I think of John Seacombe when I look at the Harley-Davidson one there. American by birth, rebel by choice. Energizer, that's a good one for the church, isn't it? Hey? Keeps going and going and going. And the fabulous morning teas we have here, finger-licking good. Life's good, many of us know that one, LG, and of course I think the Nike one, yes, just do it, is all very well unless you're feeling really down and out, and it's very hard to get the energy to just do it, but it's a slogan. And I am what I am, from Reebok. But I think the one that really, you know, kind of gets you is the Red Cross one. The greatest tragedy is indifference. Well, I think the scribe, who really was wanting to come to grips with what the Torah was all about, and he had grown up learning it, and his task now was to translate, to interpret, to understand, and to help others to understand how to put the Torah into practice. And so I think this questioning, I see it as genuine. And the answer that Jesus gave was a kind of a cry for the work that Jesus had engaged in. Love rules. That's what it's about. Now, I think I've shown you this before, but when I was a school chaplain at Westminster School, I had the job of looking after the Year 9 soccer team. Over the 19 years that I was there, I think we had about 3 wins or something. But the amazing thing was that at the end of each season, they gave me a gift. And, you know, I couldn't work it out. And I think it was about relationships, but anyway. And one of the gifts they gave me was this sweater. And, you know, I feel embarrassed to wear it in public because this is what they printed on the back. Now, there's an ambiguity about that, huh? Whether they thought the rules that I had for their and coaching were very much mine and they weren't really following the proper rules at all, or that they thought, you know, that I had something that I could offer. I think I like the second interpretation. But Rev rules, well, this is Jesus' rules. Jesus summed it up. Love rules. Love God, love your neighbour as you love yourself. Now, that's fine and good. And I think pretty well everybody here would say that is what we're trying to do. So there's nothing new for us. The trouble is, he didn't actually spell out how to put that into practice. How do you engage with the mystery of God in order to love that mystery? Well, we tried to encapsulate that a little bit in the call to worship and the opening prayer about looking around us and wondering, how do you engage with your neighbour? And who, as the young man who was wanting to also test or question Jesus about what it meant to follow, what does it mean? Who is my neighbour? He said, and then the great story of the Good Samaritan. But that's not the only text we've heard today. And we heard it beautifully read, the story of Ruth. Let me introduce Obed. Obed, or us English-speaking people would say Obed, but Obed is the product of this wonderful love story. Elimelech and Naomi. They're pretty well-to-do people. Elimelech is a merchant, and they're doing all right. But when the famine strikes, they're not used to starving. They're not used to going without. And so they become economic migrants. Is something new in this idea? So they go to the land of Moab. And with their sons, Mahlon and Chilion, and they marry two Moabite girls, Orpah and Ruth. And then, of course, there's the problem of Elimelech dying, and then later the two boys, Mahlon and Chilion, die. So there's three widows, Naomi and two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. Now, I want to posit a suggestion here that Ruth actually befriended the family, that she reached out in hospitality, that she too was searching maybe for some kind of slogan that would help her. She lived in a land where idols were worshipped, and maybe she saw something in this family that attracted her to ask questions and to befriend and to find out more about what it meant to be a Jew. I don't know, but I wonder if there's something in that. So that when the time came for the news that had come via email, no, it didn't come by email, did it? But the news that the famine had ceased and that there was plenty now in the land of their birth, Naomi said, well, we're going back, but you don't have to come. You belong in Moab, you may stay, you find husbands. And Orpah agreed, but Ruth said those wonderful words in verse 16, where you go, I will go, where you lodge, I will lodge, your people shall be my people, and your God will be my God. That's why I wonder if she's been searching and questioning and finding out more. Well, Ruth and Naomi return. And then, of course, enter the scene Boaz. Boaz, who is a relative of Elimelech. So there's all these rules about when one dies, you know, the next brother and so on, have got to keep the family line going, all of this sort of stuff. And there's the tradition of, I don't know, it's a strange tradition. They go to the gate of the city and you have to take your shoe off to say that you agree to the, you know, all that kind of. Anyway, it's worth looking up and reading about it. It's quite fascinating, but that's not really part of our brief today. What I'm interested in is the kindness that Boaz showed this Moabite girl. Go into the field. Now, the Torah had actually given these rules about looking after the widow, the orphan, the alien, or the stranger. Time and time again, this phrase keeps coming out, to be considerate and kind to the orphan, the widow, and the stranger. And here's the stranger. So Boaz enables her to go into the field, and there where the gleaners go, after they've reaped, they are not to go back. Whatever they've missed is for the poor, the orphan, the stranger. And so Ruth is able to go in. But, of course, there are young men, and she's a very attractive young lady. So Boaz introduces the first occupational health and safety rules. And he says to the young men, leave her alone. I mean, it's there in the story. It is a fascinating look at the relationships. And maybe I'm kind of thinking, in a sense, this story is a commentary about what Jesus says with his slogan, love rules. Boaz showed it. Later they marry and they have Obed. I find that very interesting, that Obed becomes the father of Jesse. And Jesse becomes the father of David. And if you keep coming down the line, whoops, here's Jesus. Now what's that powerful genealogy saying to you? It says to me that boundaries were crossed, barriers were cast down, that love in the end ruled. There was human love, but this is a story that reveals the God of love. That's what God does. God loves. And if we want a slogan, I mean, we have lots of words and lots of proposals that were agreed to at Synod. And look at this. Love is community. How appropriate that I didn't know you were going to bring this today. But love rules. Love is community. Let's just keep on doing what we're doing.